experience the realm of transcendence and then describe it through that literature. So through his own example, in chapter 6, he's describing his previous life, which was during the previous day of Brahma, although using the language here, millennium, sometimes kalpa, meaning one whole cycle of 1,000 yugas equaling Brahma's day. And at the end of those 1,000 cycles of ages, Narada had his previous birth, previous life. And the stages of how that being in a son of a Shudra, meeting Bhaktivedantas, hearing from them, the process of purification and spiritual realization through the medium of association with saintly persons is described. Then he lived his life in full Krishna consciousness. He saw the personality of Godhead in a state of meditation. The Lord disappeared and then spoke to him something that's very important for this morning's verse. The Lord spoke to him saying that he would achieve a spiritual body, and that spiritual body would be fit to enter into the eternal spiritual association of the Lord. And that he would not see the Lord again during that current lifetime, but that he had appeared just to increase his hankering for him. And by hankering for him, one's affinity for matter is diminished and is taken away. So he followed that instruction that the Lord gave to complete his lifetime just as he'd been doing, performing the same practice that the sages had given him and continuing in a renounced life, just simply traveling from one place to another place to another place. And then one day, the previous verse describes, I, who was fully absorbed in thinking of Krishna, and who therefore had no attachments, being completely freed from all material taints, met with death as lightning and illumination occur simultaneously. Sometimes the phrase is used when lightning and thunder occur. So when you see in the sky a flash of light, and then some moments later the rumbling of the thunder. So there's a little time lag, because light travels faster than sound. But lightning and illumination, they're practically synonymous. So the lightning is the lightning, the bolt that comes, and then the flash of light that travels from that lightning bolt. It occurs simultaneously. So he met with death and acquired his spiritual body simultaneously. Explore an interesting topic, connecting this verse to the next verse. Is it that our spiritual body develops or is manifest or may be manifest to very advanced devotees during the present lifetime, or is it something that's just a surprise at the end of this life? It's boop, there it is, the spiritual body. Here it makes it sound like it was the jack-in-the-box. All of a sudden, spiritual body was manifest. And Prabhupada underscores that, at least apparently. In due course of time, when a pure devotee is completely prepared, all of a sudden, the change of body occurs, which is commonly called death. And for the pure devotee, such a change takes place exactly like lightning. And illumination follows simultaneously. That is to say, a devotee simultaneously changes his material body and develops a spiritual body by the will of the Supreme. And then he concludes, even before death, a pure devotee has no material affection due to his body being spiritualized like a red-hot iron in contact with fire. So the picture in 27 is that suddenly, as lightning and illumination occur simultaneously, suddenly the spiritual body is awarded when the material body is withdrawn. Then this other idea is put into class, and for a case of a pure devotee, the body is spiritualized like iron rod in contact with fire. Okay, so now in text 28, Narada is speaking to Vyas, saying, having been awarded a transcendental body, befitting an associate of the personality of Godhead, I quit my body made of five material elements, and thus all acquired fruitive results of work, karma, stopped. I'm going to read the purport, and then I'm going to ask you some questions, so be prepared to answer some questions. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Informed by the personality of Godhead that he would be awarded a transcendental body befitting the Lord's association, Narada God, his spiritual body, as soon as he quitted his material body. This transcendental body is free from all material affinity and is invested with three primary transcendental qualities, namely eternity, freedom from the material modes, and freedom from reactions of fruitive activities. Now that sounds like a repetition, because freedom, there's two things, freedom from material affinity and invested with three primary transcendental qualities, two of which are freedom from material affinity, and subdivision is freedom from the material modes and freedom from the laws of karma, the influence of karma, and eternality. So even a spiritualized body is not eternality, it's not eternal. Next, the material body is always afflicted with the lack of these three qualities. That means the lack of these three qualities. Instead of eternity, they're temporary. Instead of freedom from the material modes, their material bodies are influenced by the material modes and are subject to the reactions of fruitive activities. But a devotee's body becomes at once surcharged with the transcendental qualities as soon as he is engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. looking at, I'm focusing here at, when does all of this happen? Is it during the life of the devotee, or is it at the termination of the life of the devotee, then these transcendental things happen? Because the previous verse seems to say, and this verse, and then, and thus, all acquired fruit of results of work, karma, stopped. So is it at the time of giving up this body, or is it before? A devotee's body becomes at once surcharged with these transcendental qualities as soon as he is engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. It acts like the magnetic influence of a touchstone upon iron. The influence of transcendental devotional service is like that. Therefore, the change of body means stoppage of the reaction of the three qualitative modes of material nature. Upon the pure devotee. There are many instances of this in the revealed scriptures. Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj and many other devotees were able to see the personality of Godhead face to face apparently in this apparently keyword in the same body. This means that the quality of a devotee's body changes from material to transcendence. What's going on here? That is the opinion of the authorized Goswamis via authentic scriptures. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said that beginning from the Indra Gopa germ up to the great Indra, King of Heaven, all living beings are subjected to the law of karma and are bound to suffer and enjoy the fruitive results of their own work. Last sentence. Only the devotee is exempt from such reactions. By the causeless mercy of the Supreme Authority, the Personality of Godhead. So step back from the immediate thing for a moment, the dialogue here. Narada is explaining to Vyas how he became free from material influence. The reason for his giving that explanation is, through his own example, he wants Vyas to compose one literature that can free the reader from material influence. And one step further back is the whole of the Bhagavatam is teaching us, not only in this dialogue between Narada and Vyas, how, even in the age of Kali, one can become free from material influence and situated in transcendence. That's the message of the Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Dharma. How to lead your life in such a way that progressively the influence of the modes of nature pushing, the influence of the forces of karma, reactionary work, compelling and shaping and determining not only what you do, but what you feel and the whole material program, whole life, what we call life, it changes. So now we'll go back to drill down and down and down again, and Narada is describing this, what appears to be, so there's different theologies. There are theologies that say, you do these good things over here, and at the end of life, you get these nice outcomes over there. You go to a nice place, and it's nice. You just be good over here, after this life. And it seems seems like in the previous verse that's what's being said. The Lord said to Narada, you just do these nice things, and at the end you get a spiritual body, fit to be an associate of the Lord. And text 27, it happened. He gave up his body and got a spiritual body fit to be his associate of the Lord. Narada confirms. Then this verse is saying, having been awarded that body, that spiritual body, befitting an associate of the personality and Godhead, I quit the material body made of five material elements. So it's really specific. Made of five material elements. And thus, all acquired fruit or results of work, karma, stopped. So it's something that we can hope for later on. That's one picture. Then this other picture is that even during the course of one's lifetime, if the quality of devotion is pure, then it's a full stop even in this lifetime. One can, fruitive reactions are stopped. What a relief. The influence of the modes of nature. What a relief. And even up to Dhruva and Prahlad and others, seeing the form of the Lord face to face, apparently in the same body. So the picture here is, it's not something that happens later. It's something that progressively happens now. So question, which is it? Or because if we're going to say progressively it happens now, then what are all these other verses that say, like lightning and illumination, simultaneously he achieved a spiritual body. And then achieving the spiritual body, the karma was relieved. The influences of his previous karma were at once taken away. Who would like to answer that question? Is the question clear? Is it something that happens presently, or is it something that happens later? Nanda Vrindavan?
Well, I don't know how to answer, but I was thinking that many of us have the experience of after we practice, we experience relief. Staying in the same body, we experience a lot of relief and a lot of things, and we experience a different kind of consciousness.
So that's a practical answer in favor of the latter, choice B. Someone else? Yeah.
I was thinking about practitioner very about how actually the selection as long as we
to support what you're saying, then I'll say the opposite. The material body, Prabhupada writes in this purport, the material body is always afflicted with the lack of these three qualities, eternity, freedom from the modes of nature, freedom from reactions of fruitive activities. And the other side is, the devotee's body becomes at once recharged with the transcendental qualities as soon as he is engaged in devotional service. Of course, that's a proportionate statement, you know, somewhat borrowing from what Ananda Vrindavan said, what we've all experienced to some degree, some relief from the same kinds of experience that everybody else is going through all the time. And we're in the same world, we go to the same places, but the experience is different. So, with Bhishma Dev in particular, there's Bhishma Dev and then there's us. In Bhishma Dev's case, he was extending himself in service to the Lord by serving those who he was teaching and instructing and guiding and caring for as a service, but he wasn't influenced by, because he was doing through his body. In his case, he was not influenced. And then he decided, okay, now I'm going to stop this service and withdraw. So he amalgamated his senses and withdrew his and fully concentrated exclusively upon the personality of Godhead. Separate from Bhishma Dev is us, where although there's, like Ananda Vrindavan is saying, some purification, it's proportionate. There's still some trace until that we're ready to fully dedicate ourselves in concentration upon the personality of Godhead. So the question is, can that be done, practically speaking, in this world? And if so, does that mean that the spiritual body is being manifest in this world? Or do we have to wait till, you know, some lucky day, or we're awarded the spiritual body later on? I'm asking these questions just to involve you so that you are very thoughtful about it. Yes?
I have heard from you many times, even Bhagavatam says, and then devotional service begins. And so you said, then what are we doing now if it's not devotional service? So, and then you also mentioned just now that the quality of our devotion, the extent that it's pure, that it happens in the same lifetime. And I can speak for myself, I don't know. Most of the time, I do things mindless even now, but if I compare it to earlier, I mean, actually, when I look at the deity, like, even now it is, I mean, still like storm, but yeah, it is that in this lifetime that can happen.
Someone else wants to? Well, we got some hands up. Okay.
I remember you talking about Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, how within this lifetime he endured so much of pain through his devotional process, but ultimately he was able to go through that successfully. I was thinking more on the lines of Andhavan Mataji, where practically when we, in this lifetime, we have to go through all the purification process, and ultimately, when we leave this body, or during the moment, we get spiritualized.
So you're going for option A?
Both sound like, but I think it is more practical.
let me press the pause button now that you're all very attentive. And it's Monday morning after Rath Yatra weekend. I'm going to go back to Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text Number 15, and help us appreciate how the themes of the Bhagavatam are woven from these early chapters of Canto 1. Chapters 1, 2, and 3, essences are in those chapters, and then they're expanded like the seed is there, the seed is expanded. That's what's happening. In this case, we'll start with actually 14. Tasmat ekena manasa. Bhagavan. Tattatam patihi. With one point of attention, one should constantly hear about, glorify, remember, and worship the personality of Godhead, who is the protector of the devotees. So what is the what is protection all about? It's protection from these material influences, protection from the affinity for enjoying matter, because instead the desire to enjoy a relationship with Krishna becomes strong, the affinity for matter subsides, darkness subsides, because light is made stronger. And then all the entanglements and craziness and sorrow and suffering that go along with affinity for matter subside. We ball. So Tasmat ekena manasa. Then the next verse. Yad anudyasi na yukta karma granti. Karma granti, the knot of karma, nibandhana. It's cut. Chindanti kovidas tasya kona koryad kata ratim. So now we're getting to both the topic that's over here in chapter 6, as well as that's the cutting of the knot of karma, as well as the message of the whole of the Bhagavatam, which is attraction for the personality of Godhead, or specifically kata, Krishna kata, ratim, this eagerness, because the Lord said to Narada, I'm showing myself to you so that you'll hanker for me more. Your eagerness for my association will come more. We get that in the form of Krishna Katha. And what's supposed to happen if we're hearing our hearing and chanting correctly is our hankering for the Lord's association. Experiencing, just like Jagadananda said, you know, seeing the deity, or take any of the activities, participating in Rath Yatra and chanting our japa and whatever devotional practice we do, hankering to experience the Lord. If we're doing our activity properly, it's to increase that hankering. And as that hankering increases, material affinity subsides. You know, the preoccupation of the mind with stuff instead of with the Lord. All that stuff gets worked out if we just withdraw our mind from stuff and place our attention upon the Lord. But we know we may need to take care of some things so that we can give our full attention to the Lord. And that's the Bhagavad Dharma process. And by so doing, Chindanti Kovidas Tasya, this binding knot of the reactionary work. So here's is made effective. So Prabhupada translates, therefore, who will not pay attention to his message? I'm going to read the purport because it covers this mixed devotion also. Liberation means freedom from the cycle of reactionary work. This liberation automatically follows for one who constantly remembers the transcendental pastimes of the personality of Godhead. This is because all the activities of the Supreme Lord, his lila, are transcendental to the modes of material energy. So then again he says, this association with the Supreme Lord gradually spiritualizes the conditioned soul and ultimately severs the knot of material bondage. So one of the keys of understanding what happened in Narada's case was the Lord explained that you're not qualified yet. And I made an exception because the rule is I only show myself to those who are qualified. Dhruva, Prahlad Maharaj. And it wasn't like there it was and then he disappeared. And then this voice saying, so the voice said, I only show myself to those who are fully spiritualized. And this, the prepare oneself for that full spiritualization is hankering for the Lord. In our case, it's the Bhagavad Dharma process of Krishna Katha, hearing and chanting and serving according to those inspiring messages. And in Narada's case, it was just some special mercy. The Lord just showed himself, but to achieve the same purpose. And then that gradually continued to happen, gradually. So it can happen fully, depending upon our full absorption in the process. And in such a case, the spiritual form is manifest, because otherwise, how can one see, from the other purport we were reading, how can one see the form of the Lord face to face, apparently in the same body? Well, it's not going to happen. It has to be a spiritualized body. So that spiritualized body is not the same as the spiritual form. We have our examples of our great acharyas who were able to understand their spiritual form and they're describing it, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, describing his spiritual form, or Shavananda, describing his spiritual form. So during the same lifetime, it wasn't something that happened. So it's proportionate to our surrender. So that means, conclusion, in our present lifetime, it's possible. It's meant to be like that, actually. And it can be more gradual or more swift, depending, proportionate to our surrender and our eagerness for hearing. Here's the rest of the purport. That's the gradually part. Gradually spiritualizes the conditioned soul and ultimately severs the knot of material bondage. Here's the next paragraph. Liberation from material bondage is, therefore, a byproduct of devotional service. Attainment of spiritual knowledge is not sufficient to ensure liberation. And Krishna really glorifies knowledge in Bhagavad Gita. On a boat of transcendental knowledge, one can cross over the ocean, and the boat into the fire of transcendental knowledge, one can burn up all reactions. Transcendental knowledge is very much appreciated. But then, not sufficient to ensure liberation. Then, such knowledge must be overcoated with devotional service. So that ultimately devotional service alone predominates. Then liberation is made possible. So there's this knowledge, and with knowledge some faith, and there's some action. That's what Narada was doing the rest of his life. It may be like with us, you know, some knowledge mixed with devotion. So that's okay. Keep going. And that's what's in the rest of the purport. Even the reactionary work of primitive workers can lead one to liberation when it is overcoated with devotional service. Karma, overcoated with devotional service, is called karma yoga. Similarly, empirical knowledge, overcoated with devotional service, is called jnana yoga. But pure bhakti yoga is independent of such karma and jnana, because it alone can not only endow one with liberation from conditional life, but also award one the transcendental loving service of the Lord. That's this. And then devotional service began. That's where the mix of karma and jnana are completely gone. Then it's pure devotion, because devotional service is pure. So the cultivation stage is also devotional service. But then when that cultivation stage culminates in unmixed devotion, then in that sense devotional service begins. And the things that help Krishna helps us overcome our affinity for karma and jnana, even in the realm of devotional service. In many interesting ways. Very interesting ways. So, it's not that the Bhagavatam is presenting option A and option B, and we're just to get spun out between option A and option B. They're different approaches to devotional service, or different, let's say, different degrees of perfection in devotional service. Narada was a recipient of great mercy, and he wasn't just like lazy, just did nothing and just received mercy. But at least he's describing himself as this primary product of mercy. And although he wasn't qualified, he saw the Lord. And that was for encouragement's sake. And then this time of death came, lightning and illumination at once. So then these gifts of liberation nature of a transcendental body, free from material modes, free from the actions of fruitive activities, eternality, all manifested. There's a, I just happened to send out yesterday a little passage from Brahma Samhita, where 532, where Angadi Yasya Sakalendri Vritti Manti, the senses of the Lord are interchangeable with his other senses. So he has a spiritual body, and his spiritual body is very wonderful. He can interchangeably do anything with any other part of his body that any part of his body can do, which we can't do with material bodies. We can eat only in one place, and we can see only in one place, and we can hear only in one place. At least the instrument for hearing is there. So spiritual bodies act differently. So I sent this out. Now I'm going to explain a little bit because it's connected to this verse. Even jiva souls in their spiritual bodies, which they develop, manifest this capacity where the one part of the spiritual body is interchangeable with another part of the spiritual body because it's spiritual. Here's what Prabhupada writes. The unwholesomeness of matter is its defect. Excuse me, this is Bhaktisiddhanta. But in the spirit, there is variegatedness, which is free from any fault or contamination. The soul and the body of Krishna are identical, whereas the body and the soul of the fallen creatures are not so. In the spiritual sphere, there is no difference as that between the body and the soul, between the limbs and their proprietor, between the attributes and the object possessing them of this world. There's no contamination in the spiritual world. Everything is of an absolute nature. There's no duality there. It's absolute. But such difference really exists in the case of the conditioned souls. Limbs. Limbed though Krishna is, his every limb is the whole entity. He performs all varieties of divine spiritual functions with every one of his limbs. Hence, he is an individual whole and a perfect transcendental entity. Both Jiva soul and Krishna are transcendental. So, they belong to the same category, but they differ in this, that transcendental attributes exist in the Jiva soul in infinitesimally small degrees, whereas in Krishna they are found in their fullest perfection. Those attributes manifest themselves in their proper infinitesimality. Only when the Jiva soul attains his unadulterated spiritual status. Okay. That's Bhaktisiddhanta saying the same thing in Bhaktisiddhanta's language, which is that, in one sense, Jiva souls, in their pure devotional service, manifest the same absolute nature of Krishna's spiritual form, because of that unadulterated pure devotional service, means they're withdrawn from contact with matter, although situated in this world, because Krishna is also situated in this world. But he's not, there's no affinity for matter. And tiny jiva souls may have that affinity for matter, or they may not, if they have affinity for the personality of Godhead and their constitutional position of serving him. Or so, in short, what the message is that devotional service is the opportunity to engage in devotional service is a very special opportunity. And in its fullness, it's pure. And in that pure devotional service, the material body becomes spiritualized, and the spiritual body also, in the absence of affinity for enjoying matter, the spiritual svarup becomes manifest. And then when the material body is no longer fit for habitation, it's given up, and that spiritual body continues with fully interchangeable senses. One part of the body is the same as the whole body, or its functions are the same as any other part of the functions of the spiritual body. And yet we have the opportunity to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead in appropriate ways. So the conclusion, just doing what Prabhupada would do, in conclusion, therefore, we should strive for pure devotional service. We should be very appreciative of having received this opportunity, devotional service, and we should strive for pure devotional service. And our means for striving for pure devotional service is the process itself, and taking very sincerely the striving to achieve purity in devotional service, to receive the full gift that we're being asked to receive, that we're being given. Pure devotional service is the message of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is, so the literature that Vyas compiled, which is um, what Narada told him to do, and which is, you know, it's all part of the tapestry has a theme. Pure devotional service through hearing and chanting in the association of saintly persons. Any discussion? Yes. Yes. That's the nature. This is changing nature. And that's eternal.
So our perfection is upon a material body, or we go by that separate physical body.
Yeah. We have to, yes.
So in case of Narada, so the Narada Muni's form or entity is already there before the body or the Sutra.
What's your question?
Before the boy quit.
Is your question, was he Narada before, when he was still that little boy? You're asking the same question in reverse. You asked the question, now you're asking the question in reverse. And the answer was yes, and the answer is yes. To both questions. He hadn't realized that identity, just like, we'll go to another example, because we've discussed it a few times. The Shyamananda, which one was he? Was he Shyamananda or was he Kanaka Manjari? Because he kept switching back and forth, at least twice. His spiritualized form is Shyamananda, and his spiritual form is Kanaka Manjari. Or Rupa Goswami and Sri Rupa Manjari, or and so on. Yeah?
Okay, I just want to share something which inspired me. Almost 5-6 years ago, when I began this month, I used to watch Memories of Prabhupada. And one of your Lord brothers, Abhiram Prabhu, was sharing that memory of this topic. He was saying that one time he was in a big Pandal program along with Srila Prabhupada. They had gone to a village. He said, Pandal program. And Prabhupada was sitting at the upper plan, and there was many, many villagers had come. And Prabhupada was singing, doing kirtan, and he was worshipping the deity. And he was sharing that as I was worshipping the deity, he experienced states which he had not experienced before. And at the end of the arati, he looked at Prabhupada, and then he said, Prabhupada, he looked at me, as if to say that this was just a glimpse, now the work for it. Meaning, so, and it was the mercy of Prabhupada, he was sharing that it was the mercy of Prabhupada that I got a glimpse of what it is to really serve Krishna in the pure state. And so, somehow it was relating to something.
Who was the speaker?
Abhiram Prabhu.
Abhiram. Okay. Anything else? Yeah?
In another time,
other place, you can talk about the travel to Krishna in the moment. And I was thinking that, you know, I have done it, probably many people have said that. In terms of our material experience, we kind of have that futuristic thought all the time that whatever we want is out there, and we are working towards it. And in the process of doing that, we kind of miss the present. And in academic education, that goes, that's not, that goes undetected or it doesn't matter. But in Krishna consciousness, it seems that if we do it the same way, then we actually miss the process, because we are thinking of it as something. So I was wondering that, so it has to be, so one has to be able to stay with the process in the present also. Because sometimes I could use that as a trust that, okay, it's something which is not important and it's out there and I'm getting there and kind of just missing. So at the moment that's there's the contact with this consciousness. Right.
Time is separating. The time energy acts because of our fruitive mentality. And to say the opposite, the time energy becomes, the moment becomes eternity when our fruitive mentality is gone. But so is it fruitive to aspire for pure devotional service, or is it like the six Goswamis, to aspire for Krishna? That's not fruitive mentality. That's transcendental. So, that's transcendental hankering, and that transcendental hankering is not being absent or not present in the moment. It's while one may be doing duties of life, the hankering, just like the example your husband gave when seeing the deity, are we present? You know, where are we when we're so? It's good to know what we're doing when we're doing something, and to be present with Krishna when we're doing that something, and then that gap of time closes. But then there's the transcendental emotion, the transcendental emotion of hankering for Krishna. And that's not sometime in the future. It's a transcendental anchoring. Say the same thing in different language. Both are good. Being present and hankering for pure devotional service. Of course, it could be now, but there has to be a hankering for pure devotional service. And the opportunity is each successive moment. Something more? Yeah, then it falls into these other categories. Devotional service then may be represented to us by fruitive gain or speculative knowledge. And we become something that we think what devotional service is. Prabhupada gave examples like a devotee doesn't care for accumulation, yet at the same time Prabhupada pointed to how he had engaged the devotees in building temples. To build temples you need resources. So there can be a fruitive purpose in doing so, and there can be a transcendental purpose in doing so. And the transcendental purpose is fully purifying. The fruitive purpose is mixed. It's for Krishna, but fruitive. And largely fruitive, or mixed. So how to get to pure devotional service is the hankering for pure devotional service. But your wife is making a very good point. It's not... It could just be another subset of in the next lifetime or after this lifetime. But that's not what the Bhagavatam is teaching or Bhagavad Gita is teaching. It's not only this lifetime, it's each moment. The access opportunity is there. And that's where the emphasis on presence is. When I'm chanting, when I'm doing each of the duties of Krishna consciousness, I should be fully present. Anything else?
So you say the same thing in another way, where you say that going back to Godhead is not place per se, but it's consciousness.
Yes, that's another way of saying the same thing.
Is it proper to understand that the hankering that we're having also also makes us very conscious of every moment that we are spending?
Well, it can, if it's not necessarily. It depends on the hankering is transcendental hankering, then yes. But hankering is, even devotional hankering, is quite often mixed. It's another, I'm going to do it kind of attainment. It's another fruitive, rather than just pure devotion. Just a comment on, from this 24-hour kirtan thing that happened. One of the singers, you probably know because you probably listened, we're going to be circulating copies of that when we have our festival of the Holy Name, but Madhava comes from Europe. He's a very simple devotee, very, very, very has great attraction for the chanting of the Holy Name. And the 2 years that he's come, he's had two sessions, each 2 hours long, and he sang the same melody. For 2 hours, 2 hours, 2 hours, and 2 hours. Same melody. Slight variation. Same melody. And the sense is, getting past the stuff of singing a nice kirtan or whatever else is in somebody's mind, and just being with Krishna. Just be with Krishna for 2 hours, or at least try for 2 hours to be with Krishna, and there's nothing else going on, just that, not the musical accompaniment or the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's just Krishna, no distraction, just Krishna. And that quality is what holds everybody. If, you know, people don't get up and walk away, it gets more intense. It just draws the intention of... So, hankering to be with Krishna is a qualitative thing too. Okay. Thank you very much, Shiva Prabhupada.